Hi, and welcome to Discovery's live stream. We're so glad that you guys have chosen to join us today. This is going to be an exciting day where we continue our ICU series, and God has been speaking so many amazing things about himself in this series. So we're excited to gather today and hear from him again.
Absolutely. We're talking about how to revive faith, and maybe like us, these last 6 or 7 months have been kind of challenging to your faith. And so we're hoping during this series that this is a time where your faith is restored, your relationship with God is strengthened, and you draw close again to him and his mission in the world, because he's still working, by the way.
That's right.
So sometimes sometimes things look a little challenging and difficult. We wonder, God, what are you doing? And he is absolutely still moving and working today.
So who's our guest star today? We've had 2 weeks ago, Hagar was kind of the focus of the message. Last week, we looked at Sarah and how to deal with cynicism. So who's drumroll
today? We're going to be meeting Rebecca. So if this is the first time with us here at Discovery, a couple of things that I think will help you is that as a church, we walk through the Bible. So we've been in the book of Genesis for some time, and we'll probably be in the book of Genesis for quite a bit. So we're going to take a long time walking through this fantastic book. But during this series, we're looking at these five heroes of the faith, these five ladies, and we're learning a lot about how God restores faith.
Absolutely.
And also, if this is your first time with us, there's a couple of things we'd love for you to do. It's important to us, and I hope it's important to you as well, that this is really part of a church community. So we really want you to engage. And there's some things that you can do. You can use that like button on Facebook. You can shoot us a comment. There's just lots of ways that you can engage, and I would encourage you to do that. It lets us know that you're there. It allows us the privilege of being able to engage with you and be a family together.
I don't think you know this because you're usually preaching or sharing, but a lot of people like to say hello and good morning to each other through those comments. So if you see a friend hop on and they're viewing with us and watching, say hello. Give people a wave, a like. Go ahead and ask. You can ask questions. It's about us experiencing this time of worship together. So we invite you to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Throw out a question or two, and it's just a great way to engage. This is one of the benefits of this platform, is we actually get to engage with each other and have some vibrant conversations and be a community. So I want to encourage you to just really use this resource. There's a couple of other things that I think will be really helpful to you as well. On our website, discochurch.com, we also have it's another way to watch and be a part of this service. But on our website, we have a few tools that I think will be really handy to you. For instance, we have some notes there available to you. We have a connection card available to you. There's also more information about Discovery. And we have a giving platform there. And to be honest, generosity is a really important part of our worship experience. Mm-hmm. And so we would encourage you, if this starts to become your home and your church home, we'd love for you to join us. We believe generosity is a really important part of the walk with Jesus, and we'd love for you to be a part of it with us. God's doing great things in the city. Yeah. In fact, to be honest, something that I don't know a lot of people know is that last week we had such a great weekend. We had our final and grand opening service for our Lakewood pop-up. So Discovery has 4 unique campuses. This one, our online campus, and then 3 in-person experiences, one in Puyallup, one in Tacoma, and one in Lakewood. And we had a ton of people, both online and in person. So I would encourage you to continue to invite friends, particularly on this platform. It's a great way to invite a friend, a family member. They don't even have to live in Tacoma.
That's right.
They can live on the other side of the United States. They can live
in
another country.
I'm actually becoming a huge fan of that app, to be honest, the other platform, because of the notes. There's worship songs there. There's also the ability to interact. So whether you're with us on Facebook's live stream or using our other platform at discochurch.com, there's just so many great tools for you to engage today. And even the folks at these pop-ups are opening that up on their phone. And it's a great way to have the scriptures there and just really fully immerse yourself in what God is speaking today.
And when she says app, by the way, she's talking about YouVersion. So we use the YouVersion app at Discovery. So anyway, use that. And
Also, today we are going to have a guest come and talk to us a little bit about what's happening with our youth. So Fusion is our youth ministry at Discovery. It has been for a very long time. And the young people of our church are still having opportunities to connect and have people invest in them, like our friend Mike Sandifer, who is leading Fusion presently. So right now, we're going to go to Mike, and he's going to tell us what is the latest with Fusion, our youth ministry.
Well, good morning, Discovery family. I'm Mike Sandifer, and I, again, have the pleasure of leading Fusion, our youth ministry for 6th through 12th graders. You know, as a parent, as a middle school science teacher, I'm in my room right now, as the spouse of a healthcare worker, this has been a challenging year in so many ways. And I think that's why it's so important that we recognize that the gospel is not just about our eternal salvation. The gospel speaks to here and now. The gospel speaks to our identity, our self-worth, our interactions with others, how we deal with stress and failure and tragedy and so many things. And so that's really my hope and my goal for our youth, is that they would be learning how the gospel applies to their everyday life and all the ins and outs, the challenges they face, many of which we had no concept of when we were youth. So anyway, my invite is that this Wednesday, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Bethlehem Lutheran, the site of our Tacoma pop-up, we are going to be kicking off a new series on Jesus and our identity. And hopefully I will see many of you youth there. We're trying to make it as safe as possible. Pop-up protocols will be in place. And so just come prepared to have fun and to learn about Jesus and to have more fun. All right, cool. I'll see you there.
Thank you, Mike, so much. Thank you for you and your team and all that you guys have been doing, particularly with students. We're so grateful for you.
I loved getting to see some of our youth finally last week. Every week I'm seeing more and more people that I've missed for so long, starting to come to some of the pop-ups, and our youth are being able to connect again. It's just so important. So thank you, Mike, and your team. We're so grateful for you. It's time to worship. So it is our honor and blessed privilege to roll now into our time of hearing from God, and to help you prepare your heart this morning, we're going to listen to a song of worship. I'd like to take a minute and just help us ready our hearts and our minds to hear from God. We're in Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to take a look at the life of Rebecca and her relationship with Isaac. I was reading this chapter last night and just struck with how the whole thing starts out with the faith that Abraham has. You'll see what I mean in the story, but there's so many evidences of faith in this chapter. And so let's ask God to build that in us. Would you pray with me as we ready our hearts to worship today? Let's pray. We want, Father, to be found faithful. We long for our lives to reflect that we have this vibrant, real relationship with you that is moment by moment, day by day. God, we have known that you keep your promises. There are seasons that can discourage. There are seasons that we find we're waiting. There's a lot of silence. But God, when we look back in our lives, we can see your hand, your presence, your love, your forgiveness. So we pray that today you would build our faith, and that you would find us faithful, that we will reflect the kind of faith that Abraham had that says, God will provide. God is with me. God, we thank you so much for time in your presence this morning. Remind us that when we are still and listen, you speak. We pray, God, that you'll remind us that you're the promise keeper, the way maker, and that you are restoring. We love you, Jesus. Come and speak to our hearts today. In your holy, holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You are here, moving in us.
Well, welcome to 35 Days to Reviving Faith. I'm hoping that you've already been on this fantastic journey with us. We have not only talks on Sunday, but we've got small groups that are meeting talking about how to revive faith, and we have a daily devotional. If you haven't jumped in yet on the daily devotional, it is not too late to get started. You can just text the word Devo to our text or prayer line, and we'll get you that daily devotion. We'd love for you to be a part of it. I think it's going to be a fantastic part of your journey. So we've been talking about 35 days to revive faith, and finding faith can be extremely hard. Some of us have found our faith exhausted and worn out and tired. Sometimes because faith hasn't worked for us, we didn't get the answer we wanted or expected. Things have been hard, or honestly, for a lot of us, it's because we don't seem to feel the way other people feel, and that can be incredibly confusing. When I was a kid, my favorite person on planet Earth was my grandfather. My grandfather and I had a special relationship. I was his only grandson, and so that meant we got to spend a lot of time together, and I loved being with my grandfather, and in fact, I loved everything that he did. If he loved something, I loved something. He loved tomatoes. I love tomatoes. He loved green beans. I love green beans. He loved Some of us have found our faith exhausted and worn out and tired. Sometimes because faith hasn't worked for us, we didn't get the answer we wanted or expected. Things have been hard. Or honestly, for a lot of us, it's because we don't seem to feel the way other people feel. And that can be incredibly confusing. When I was a kid, my favorite person on planet Earth was my grandfather. My grandfather and I had a special relationship. I was his only grandson, and so that meant we got to spend a lot of time together, and I loved being with my grandfather, and in fact, I loved everything that he did. If he loved something, I loved something. He loved tomatoes. I loved tomatoes. He loved green beans. I loved green beans. He loved cantaloupe, and he loved putting pepper on cantaloupe. Boom, then I love pepper on my cantaloupe. He loved fishing, so I loved to fish, and he was a carpenter. In my entire life, I've wanted to be a carpenter. In fact, when I was a young boy, I got to tag along with him on lots of different little projects, and he would always give me something to do. Sometimes it was to hold a board or run an errand. In fact, a lot of times he loved to give me tasks to do. And as I look back, I realize that he was using those moments to train me, but also maybe sometimes even just to tease me. Because one of his favorite things to do was he'd ask me to go get something for him. And I can remember many times, because I loved him so much and I had such a strong eagerness to please him, in the middle of his sentence to tell me to go get something, I would already be up and running. I can remember him saying something like, "Hey, John, I want you to go to the garage and get me a crescent wrench." And before he'd be finished, I was running to his garage, repeating the word crescent wrench in my head over and over again the whole way. Because you know when you're little, you're like, I don't want to forget. So you just keep repeating crescent wrench, crescent wrench, crescent wrench. And I can remember standing in that garage filled with cabinets and shelves and buckets and tools everywhere, and then standing there looking around and realizing I have no idea what a crescent wrench is. And standing there in that moment, like you get this little lump, and like, there's no way for me to please him. There's no way for me to succeed. And sometimes finding faith can be just like that. We can be just like that young kid standing in a garage full of tools, inches away from exactly what we need, but having no clue what it is, no clue what to look for. Sometimes finding faith is like finding a crescent wrench or a unicorn, or at the minimum, looking for a needle in a haystack. And I think sometimes that is only made more challenging by people who have great intentions. In fact, sometimes when we come to church or we're in a worship setting or someone shares us a worship video, we see these people with these hands raised in this exuberant, maybe rapturous worship. And we wonder, could I ever have that? Or we hear people who talk about hearing from God or seeing God, and we think, is that something that's even possible for me? Or sometimes we just hear even people talk about these really strongly held convictions that we're not sure that we could really get our head and our head or our hands wrapped around. And so sometimes it can just feel so foreign, so difficult, if not impossible, to find faith. Now, this morning, what I want us to talk about is I want to talk about the difference between finding faith and building faith. Truth is I think it is impossible to find faith, but I don't think it's impossible to build faith. This morning, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 24, and I'm going to encourage you to find a Bible, and I know you can see the scriptures up here on the screen, but even though we're going to have these scriptures on the screen, I'd love for you to have a Bible. I'd love you to have Genesis chapter 24 just open in front of you. Maybe grab a pen or a pencil to take some notes. And in Genesis chapter 24, we're going to see how a person, how a family, how a community builds faith. Now, Genesis chapter 24 is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. It's not only the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, it's the longest event recorded in the book of Genesis outside of the event of the flood. So the writer of the book of Genesis sees this moment as incredibly significant. Now, unfortunately, most of us have very little familiarity with what happens in Genesis chapter 24. I would title Genesis 24, Finding the Mother of Faith, because Genesis 24 is really, at the core, it's about finding the future mother of Israel. And so, but it's more than that. It really is a picture about the building blocks of faith. Let me share with you what I mean. Genesis chapter 24 opens up with Abraham. He's in his last days. Abraham is very old, and he has very little time left to live. And he's concerned because his son, his one and only son, Isaac, has no heir. Isaac has not only no heir, he has no family, and he has no wife. And so Abraham calls a servant into his tent next to his bed, and he asks the servant to make a commitment. It's not just a job. It's not just a task he's giving him. He asks him to make a like lifelong, like all-in commitment to this task. Now, the task is finding a wife for his son Isaac. Now, you can already imagine that if somebody would give you that task today, finding a spouse for a dear friend or spouse for a child, you'd go, oh man, this is a big task. Well, Abraham takes it from big and he takes it to impossible. As the servant comes in, Abraham gives him some very, very specific instructions. The instructions are something like this. You can't find a wife for my son Isaac here around us in this geography. In fact, I want you to go back to the land that I came from. And he says, I want you to go find my family. And once you've found my family in that land, I want you to look for someone that has the right character and the character qualities. And then if they're willing to leave everything they've known to go and marry a guy that they've never, ever met, to move to a land that they've never been to, that's the one. Well, the servant goes all in and he makes this commitment. But I can only imagine what it felt like after the servant left the tent of Abraham and stood on the hill that horizon to begin to set on the journey. I'm pretty sure he felt like a boy standing in a garage looking for a crescent wrench. How am I going to find the impossible? And how am I going to succeed in inviting somebody else to make this impossible commitment? Now, for some of us, that's what faith feels like when we're searching for a feeling or an emotion or an experience. But I'm going to share with you a different definition of faith this morning, a definition that has guided me my entire life and has guided so many other men and women of faith. The definition of faith that I find in Scripture is this: faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. This is something that's just etched in my memory. It's actually a mashup of two different translations of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's a mashup of the King James and the New American Standard. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. The book of Hebrews, you'll notice in Hebrews 11, 1, that in Hebrews 11, 1, you won't find the word easy. You won't find the words feeling. You won't find feelings. You won't even find the word mystical or blind faith. What you find in Hebrews 11, 1 is you find that faith is something that is built on two rock solid things, substance and conviction. So maybe some better words for us today, the words that maybe we use a little more often would be like reason and trust. Faith is something that's built. It's built by reasonable expectations, reason, and by trust. Now, it's deeply necessary that we have both of these things as we're building faith. As we're building the building blocks of faith, we need both substance and we need conviction. Now, I realize that these words are a bit foreign because I do recognize that when we talk about faith, we talk a lot about an emotion or a feeling. And I don't want to suggest that feelings are bad. There's nothing really wrong about feeling something. Feelings can be an incredible friend to understand what's going on inside of us. Feelings can be a great gift when we're celebrating something wonderful. In fact, feelings can be an incredible gift when we're going through a difficult time of grief or pain. Sometimes feelings can be a really great gift to the soul. But feelings are a terrible measurement for faith. In fact, when they lead the faith journey, when we're talking about reviving faith, when feelings lead that faith journey, they always fail. Scripture tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. In fact, every hero of faith that I know of, both in Scripture and in real life, are men and women who have built a substantial, faithful life upon convictions. Let me say that again. Every hero of faith that I've known in Scripture and in life, and in my life, my experience, are men and women who have built a substantial life of faith through conviction. Now, you and I are not going to wake up one day in the middle of the night and faith just hits us like a semi-truck. We're not going to wake up in the middle of a football game with our feet up on the lazy boy watching a game, and all of a sudden, boom, we get faith. We're not going to wake up driving in the truck one day and all of a sudden it just hits us. Faith is something that is built day in and day out with substance and making decisions based on convictions. In fact, in Genesis 24, that's what we see. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to walk through this story. We're not going to be able to read the whole chapter together, but since you have that chapter open, you can kind of keep your hand open. We'll walk through the story together, and I want you to see how in Genesis 24 we see the building blocks of faith. And there really are four convictions. We're going to see in Genesis 24 that faith is built on for specific convictions. Let me explain what I mean. I shared with you that in Genesis 24, it opens up with Abraham and the servant. The servant takes on this task to go find this wife. The servant leaves. He leaves Abraham. He goes on this long journey. He takes with him some people and some stuff. In fact, a bunch of camels, all right? Believe it or not, camels are in the story. After a long journey, he arrives in the place where he believes is Abraham's home. He's tired. He's exhausted. And he sits down next to a well. He knows that his animals need some water, and he's just tired. And it hits him as he's sitting there by this well, like, okay, here I am. I've come all this way. Now what? Now what? How do I find this impossible thing? Much like you and I, how do I find faith? How do I get there? And what he does near that well is so powerful. In many ways, it sounds simple, but it's powerful. He prays. In Genesis 24, verse 12, it just says, just this one verse we'll read. It says, the Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. This servant, after doing everything that he could do, he realizes that he needs God to do something that only God can do. He has a conviction. Here's the first one. He has a conviction that there is a real God who answers very real prayers. So how do you have faith? Well, it actually starts by taking a faith step built on a conviction that there is a very real God who answers very real prayers. In fact, the servant, as he's sitting there by that well, he prays really one of the first, what we call maybe intercessory prayers, one of the very first prayers in the Bible with this long and very, God, would you come and do this right now kind of prayer. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, God says to us, he says, you will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. It seems a little circular, but listen to it very carefully. God says, listen, you will find me when you have the conviction that I'm findable. When you make the decision and live your life on the conviction that if I call out to God, that he actually will respond to me. Jesus in the New Testament said this. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Hear Jesus' invitation. Again, I'm talking to people here this morning who are struggling to figure out how you find faith. And I'm trying to blow your mind a little bit that I don't think it's possible to find faith. It is possible to build it. And the first building block is a conviction. Just setting your life, building it with a conviction that there's a real God. And if I knock, seek, and ask, then he will move. So conviction number one that's revealed in Genesis 24 is this conviction that there's a very real God and he speaks to very real prayers. The second conviction that we see in Genesis 24 is this conviction that character counts. Okay, I talked to you about, I just said a minute ago that he prayed, and you can look down and see it yourself. He prays a very, very specific prayer. And his prayer is really looking for a person of character. God, would you help me see a woman, a particular person of character. And it says in verse 21, it says, after his prayer, without even saying a word, it says, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. Now, what was he looking for? Well, he's looking for character. Because the second building block to build a life of faith is the conviction that character counts. That the most important ingredient in a life outside of believing that there's a God who answers real prayers is that who I am and how I live matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And you can't have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. This is a really important principle when we're talking about building faith. you and I can't build a vibrant, significant, substantive life of faith if our hands are constantly toying with things that don't reflect the heart of God. Like, it's an impossibility for the prayer for my faith to grow when I'm constantly pursuing things that are against God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. So in Matthew 6, Jesus says, let's be clear that this is how you and I can be right with God. We seek first his kingdom. God, I want your kingdom. But the second is we say, God, I want to live the righteous life that you have. I believe that character matters. Who I am, how I live matters today and also beyond. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says, people are destined to die once and after that face judgment. You know, the building block of faith is first this conviction that there's a God, he's real, and he answers prayers. But the second is that how I live matters. The kind of man I am, the kind of family we are, the kind of decisions that we live with, these things are building blocks to faith. I can never have a vibrant and real faith journey if I continue to toy with the things of this world. Conviction number one, conviction number two. The third conviction is the conviction that generosity brings heaven to earth. So back to our story in Genesis 24, the servant has left Abraham. He's gone on this long journey. He lands at a well, he's tired. He starts praying, God, would you show me who it is that you have already chosen? I believe in that you're going to answer, but I'm looking for your character, your DNA, if it were, in the heart and life of people around me. And then as he's doing that, he begins to watch God's character seep out of a person with generosity. Her name's Rebecca. So this gentleman begins to ask young ladies as they come to the well to get water if they'll provide him a drink. And he comes across Rebecca, who says, not only will I get a drink for you, but why don't I water all of your animals? And so one by one, she takes a trip down to the spring, carries back a load of water, dumps it into a makeshift trough. She does it over and over and over again. She lives with such incredible generosity. Verse 20 says, she quickly emptied her jar into the trough. She ran back to the well and drew more water and drew enough for all of his camels. After watering all his camels, she looks at the stranger. She recognizes that the stranger has no place to stay. She says, I want you to come and stay in my house. Her life is dripping with generosity. The character of God is expressed through us when we live generously. I wrote down here that the third conviction is this, a conviction that generosity brings heaven to earth. You want to have a life of faith? It's because God placed it in you. You have this longing desire inside to have a rich, vibrant walk with God. It starts with a conviction that God hears. Second, it's beginning to pursue character. And third, it means living generously in this world. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, sell your possessions and give. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, watch this, there your heart will be also. Faith isn't found, it's built. A faith life is built. It's built on the principle and conviction that God hears. It's built on the conviction that character, who we are, matters. And it's built on the conviction that generosity brings heaven to earth, not only around us, but within us. When you and I choose to live radically generous, it grows the faith muscle. Every moment in my life where I've stepped up to the plate, so to speak, and I've chosen to live radically generous, God has grown my faith. The faith muscle grows inside of me, and it changes and transforms me. God uses generosity that way. The fourth conviction, maybe the most important this morning about reviving your faith, is the conviction that faith is driven by a single decision. So in Genesis 24, back in our story, servant makes this long journey. He asks this prayer at the well. He watches and sees the character of this young lady named Rebecca. Then he watches her live so radically generous, he's blown away. And then he spills the beans. He tells Rebecca and her entire family, says, I'm here because I was given a task and God has led me to this moment. And let me tell you all the reasons why I think that God has led us to this moment. And it's probably a pretty crazy thing to hear around a meal that night. The whole family hears it. Well, in the end, there's one person that has to make a decision. And it's this young lady, Rebecca. In fact, the family says it's totally okay. We're all in, but we're going to let this young lady make this decision. Now, here's her decision. Are you willing to leave your family and everything that you've ever known, any sense of security, strength, and stability? And are you willing to leave all of this to go marry a man that you've never met and live in a land that you've never been to and perhaps never see your family again? That's a pretty big task. But the truth is every faith journey requires a significant step of faith. In John chapter 3, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There's a lot of reason behind John chapter 3. There's a lot of reason behind that. There's a lot of substance to trusting that Jesus literally came, literally performed miracles, literally died, and literally rose again from the grave. But the truth is every one of us has a chance and an opportunity and an obligation to make a faith decision. Are we going to trust that all of that is true and that Jesus is the one and only way? In Romans chapter 10, it says, If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I think that men and women today face decisions no less significant as Rebecca faced, where Jesus is inviting you, at maybe even right now, he's inviting you to make a faith decision based on a conviction that Jesus is the one and only Son of God. But are you going to make the decision to call him Lord? So every one of us gets that opportunity. Now, I don't know how many opportunities we get, because I do believe that God is working in a finite world, and he makes finite asks to men and women, families, to come place their faith and trust in him and receive incredible life-changing salvation. These are the building blocks of faith. It begins with the conviction that there's a real God who answers prayer. Then it's the conviction that who I am and what I do actually matters. In fact, the Bible tells us all through the Bible that the things that we do here on planet Earth can create health between us and God or create separation. In fact, the Bible tells us that all of us have done so many things with our hands in our lives that we have created separation that's unrepairable by us. That's why God sent his one and only Son, so that you and I would recognize that character matters so much and it's irreparable by you and me. So he sent his Son so that you and I would also have the conviction, make a faith decision to put our trust in Jesus, and that would fix the great divide. You see, these are the building blocks of faith. It's not feeling, it's not emotion, it's not even hands raised in rapturous worship. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the conviction of things not seen. And let me invite you today to move from the question stage and the wandering stage. Let me invite you today to make an intentional decision to move to the conviction and put your trust in Jesus alone. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for a few minutes in your word today. I trust that you knew where each and every one of us would be this morning, and you intentionally lined things up so that we would be here and we would hear the message of your word. I'm praying right now for the men and women who have gathered here this morning in this service. And then, Father, and we together are going to make some prayers of commitment. So first, Father, I pray that you would just continue to draw us close to you, close to us as we make these decisions of based on conviction. I pray that you would build faith in us. Now, if you're here this morning, and as we were talking, you realize that you need to take a step of faith, particularly by making a decision this morning to put your faith and trust in Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray with me right now. Mm-hmm. Pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I've been waiting for faith to show up on my doorstep like an unannounced miracle, like an unexpected moment. And today I'm realizing that you're inviting me to make a decision of faith. So today, I'm asking you, Jesus, to be Lord of this life. And I pray that you would build in me the faith that I know I so desperately need.
Yes, Lord.
Today, may you start a brand new work in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm grateful that you joined us today, and I'm hoping that this journey about reviving faith has been so good for you. And I'm hoping today that you will take away that finding faith really is the wrong approach to our journey of reviving faith. It's really about building faith together.
Putting feet to it.
Putting feet to
it.
Yeah,
absolutely. One thing that you can do to start putting substance to your faith and walking out what it means to trust in the goodness of God's plan and his promises in your life is to spend time with him in his word. He so wants to meet with you every day, those kind of mini Sabbaths during the day, until we get to this day and celebrate together God's goodness. So if you're interested in a devotional that's provided that goes along with this series, I See You, that has been so powerful about reviving our faith and drawing near to God once again, please type the word Devo, D-E-V-O, to our text of prayer number that you can see on the screen, and we will make sure that we get those devotional materials to you this week.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll be really blessed by it. We also want to encourage you that we have started groups, and if you haven't joined a group yet, it's not too late. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can join a group anytime. It will be a fantastic, important part of the journey forward as your faith is being revived is to join a group. So you can do the same thing. You can not only type in Devo to that text of prayer line, but you can type in the word group to that text of prayer line, and we'll help you get connected into a small group.
Time in prayer, talking to the Father, time in his word, and with other believers is the type of thing that builds substance to our faith.
Absolutely.
And then watch God's faithfulness in your life. So today you have entrusted us again with prayers, and we have some praises, and we're going to share those right now and then end our service today by praying over these requests. So let me read through them, and then John and I will pray together. And please join us. If you'd like, you can jot these down and pray for those who are joining us through live stream and this Discovery community throughout the week. We have a praise from one of our community members who has their son-in-law who's finally going to be coming to live here from London. So that's a praise because that's been prayed for a very long time.
Absolutely.
Grateful to God. And we have a prayer request from a friend whose pet's scan showed cancer. So praying for them to know the next steps. That's so hard with pets.
That's really hard.
Praying for one of our members today who is struggling with severe anxiety and asking God to help them know the way forward in dealing with anxiety. Praying for a job interview that's coming up this week, asking God's will to be done. A family who is struggling with some relational things and needing prayer. We're going to lift them up in prayer today. We also have a prayer request from one of our friends who is actually going in for an ultrasound tomorrow about a health issue. So we're going to lift them in prayer. And I think that's everything.
Well, let's do it. So wherever you are, again, we invite you. I know the temptation is to, there's some things that are like pressing in and you're thinking, I got to get on my day. But this is an important part of being at church together. Even though we're in different places and in different homes or sitting in different spots, this is an important way for us to be together. So,
So draw everyone close. Mm-hmm. We'll end again our prayer time praying a prayer of blessing over those that are either near you today or far, and asking God to remind us that He sees us and He's with us. So let's lift up these prayers and then end our service with this benediction today. Would you pray?
Jesus, thank you so very, very much that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you invited us not just to pray, but to intentionally and specifically pray, Father. We have people here in the body that have some great things going on and also some challenging things. God, we rejoice with those that are rejoicing, like with a son-in-law able to move here. That is so great.
Thank you, Jesus. We're thankful
for that, Father. We also pray for things like this one is wrestling with a pet that has these significant health issues, Father, or this one that's going to go in for an ultrasound this week. Father, we pray that you give them incredible peace. God, this one that's struggling with anxiety, Father, we pray that you would give them some freedom from that. Jesus, you do give us freedom from those things. So we pray that you do that.
Yes, Lord. God, we also lift up those that have concerns about work, and one that has a job interview this week. We pray, Father, for such supernatural confidence and assurance that they have everything they need for that interview and that you are going before them. We pray your provision for people that are in our church, people of faith that are just saying, God, you see me, you see my needs. Please be that Jehovah Jireh provider.
Yes.
And we will turn and bless your name. And thank you for every answer to each and every one of these prayers. God, you hear us when we pray, and we're so grateful. Lord, we want to stretch a hand out over those that we love, the ones that are sitting right next to us on the couch, those that are far away, and ask this blessing over them today, and an assuredness that you see them,
yes,
that you're with them, and that you're for them. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. And may the Lord give you his peace.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh. gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family.